Thank you for tuning into this rebroadcast of Hope in the Night. Our aim is to inspire you with biblical hope and offer practical help. Please be aware that any special offers or events mentioned during the program may not be current or active. To get the latest updates, go to hopefortheheart.org. Now here is Hope in the Night with June Hunt. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, as we get closer to Easter, I do hear and read usually competing, theories about the resurrection of Jesus and people trying to explain away what happened there. And so you have some thoughts about that. I was just going to ask, what is the why is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead really the most important proof of his deity?
Well, his resurrection represents the most important proof because people don't just resurrect from the dead. I mean, how many people do you know who can claim that? And clearly, there was this resurrection, but there were false theories of his resurrection. Specifically, the earliest one was, I'm going to read this, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. He now appeared. He had been crucified, and all of a sudden there he is. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." So that's John 20. And what we see is there was a lot of confusion. I mean, major confusion. And so the earliest false theory was, and Matthew tells about this, that the Jewish leaders created the story to account for the missing body. This is in Matthew 28. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him," meaning the body, "away when we were asleep." And then it goes on, verses 12 through 15. Now, the fact is, the disciples had given up everything. I'm talking about including their lives, to preach that Christ was raised from the dead. Certainly, they would not have done this if they were lying and they knew it, about the resurrection. And what we see is in 1 Corinthians 15, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, meaning the Christians, at the same time, most of whom are still living at that time of this writing, though some had died. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 6. Now, a second theory was, well, the women just went to the wrong tomb. Now, if the early church or these people had made up this story of the empty tomb, they would not have used women as examples, the women being the first witnesses of the empty tomb, because a woman's testimony at that point in time was nearly worthless in the first century Palestine. Even the 12 disciples did not believe the women's reports of Jesus' resurrection until they themselves went and investigated it for themselves. And you see this in Luke 24. A third false narrative was that the resurrection is just a metaphor for Jesus' continuing spiritual significance to his followers. In truth, on multiple occasions and under various circumstances, different individuals, different groups of people experienced the physical appearance of Jesus following his death, but they saw him bodily alive from the dead. The Apostle Paul provides a list of individuals who saw the bodily resurrected Jesus. This is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 8. The resurrection appearances in the Gospels provide other witnesses to Jesus' bodily resurrection. But this in particular is 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 5. He, Jesus, appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he, meaning the disciples, after he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, Christians, at the same time, then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, and that was the Apostle Paul. And so the multitude of people, this is not just a metaphor, this is the physical body of Jesus following his death and his resurrection. And the last would be that Jesus' resurrection was just simply a legend. Well, the followers of Jesus didn't believe that their Messiah would die, much less be resurrected. Because Jesus was resurrected, he would have been considered a heretic according to the Old Testament law. The Jews believed in the resurrection, but only in a resurrection for everyone at the end of the world. They did not believe individuals would be resurrected before that time. So that's clear.
Hi, it's Dr. Eric Scalise with Hope for the Heart. I've often said if COVID was the earthquake that shook the world, then the mental health crisis is the tsunami that followed. Addiction, anxiety, depression, grief, and more. Now is the time for the church to step up and care for people who are struggling and broken. I would like to invite you to our event on mental health and the church, hosted by Hope for the Heart, Saturday, June 22nd, right here in Plano, Texas, and we'll be live streaming as well. We have an incredible lineup of speakers, both pastors and counselors, including George Barna, Greg Steer, our own June Hunt, and more, discussing how you can best care for those struggling with mental health issues in your church and community. Learn more and sign up at hopefortheheart.org/church. That's hopefortheheart.org/church. I really hope to see you there.
We would love your prayers here at Hope for the Heart. Over and over in God's Word, the Lord encourages us to lift up one another in prayer. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us by your prayers. So we want to encourage you to join the prayer team of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. You can join the Hope for the Heart prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. When you sign up to join our prayer team, we will send you an email each month to keep you updated with the latest prayer needs of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our prayer team is a great way to stay connected and support June and support the Hope of the Night broadcast. We are so grateful for your prayers and support of our listeners and friends like you who make this ministry possible. You can join our prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. That's hopefortheheart.org/pray. And thank you for partnering with us in prayer.
Listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about any of the topics that we bring up here on the program, just call our customer support team. They're at 800-488-HOPE, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They can help you access the appropriate resources for you as you deal with something, or maybe you can help someone else with a resource and pass it along to them, something that they might be dealing with. I want to let you know about one of our resources that's a book that we have that June Hunt has written. It's called How to Handle Your Emotions. Now, this covers several of the major emotions that people deal with and have so much trouble with sometimes, but this is a helpful approach to take a look at those emotions of anger, depression, fear, grief, rejection, and self-worth, because June says that God created our hearts to be like a dashboard filled with dials, finely tuned controls to help process our full range of emotions in a healthy way. Yet at times, our hearts operate as if controlled by a single on-off switch that leads us to shut down when we fear our feelings will overrun our lives. Well, discover how you can harness the power of your emotions and allow God to make you into the person He created you to be. That's called How to Handle Your Emotions. And you can order that by name now at 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673. That's our customer support team. They'll help you with that. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight. We have a listener from KCBI in Texas. Tonight, we welcome Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. Welcome to Hope.
Miss Joan, how are you doing?
I'm blessed to talk with you.
I feel the same way.
Thank you. Well, what is on your mind?
Well, relationship-wise, I've been dating this young lady, and, you know, to protect her, I will not say her name or anything like that, but we've been dating for 4 years. During this four-year period of time, we've had great times, ups, we've had downs. Recently, just a slew of bad things. My dog I had of 17 years passed away. Had her when she was a little bitty pup.
Oh, my goodness. And, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. Oh, she's part of your family.
Yeah. That was January, and then February the 25th, my mother passed away. So that was one thing she had to endure and see me go through, and God, I felt like Job there for a minute because things just kept happening, and then it got down to the relationship. Something happened where I had to have surgery. They were talking about doing both my knees because my kneecaps basically went out, and when you get ready to go through something like that, praying, and it'll tell you a lot about a relationship, about a person, and everything else, because it's like she forgot me. She starts sending texts, and it's like she was talking to somebody else, but she said my name. She says, I have asked you for help and such and such. And I kept on saying to myself, when did she ever talk to me and say she need help? That conversation never happened.
Oh. Now, you're saying your mother. Is that right?
No. No, this is my girlfriend. We're on my
girlfriend.
We're on a major topic right now. She was having conversations with me by texting, saying that she said she many times that she needed help, and I only heard what I wanted to hear. And then the conversation, it changed. It got kind of quiet, and I had to go back and think, okay, she's doing what she's done in the past. Well, let me give you a little history.
Okay.
She had a husband before me ever, and this husband killed himself in front of her and the kids.
Wow. Ooh, ouch. Whoa, that's serious.
She's traumatic. That's a lot of trauma going there. PTSD, or whatever you call it, could be happening. All kind of things could be happening. But I started looking at the text and the conversations that we would have and what she would say to me. On Mother's Day, she was happy. I spent $300 on roses and flowers, beautiful flowers. I made them myself, especially the arrangement and everything. And she was happy, took her to brunch, everything. And then 1 week after that, this all of a sudden, she picked up the phone and she said this, I cannot give you what you want. What do I want? We haven't discussed that.
Wow. So is she projecting what she thinks you are like or what you want?
But I think it's marriage. Facts? It scares the living crap out of her because of what she just went through. And he went through, that was 17 years ago. And I think every time we have that conversation or if I even hint or say something, she gets upset about it. And I don't know what to do. I know I love her. I know I've been praying for her. And I ain't been praying for her to come back to me. I've been praying for her spirit because right now I know it's a demonic force from the grave that's imprisoning her and keeping her in captivity. I know that.
Mm. Wow. And what is your intention? I'm sensing
you love her.
I understand you love her. But you can love, okay, you can love your dog, which you did dearly, but you didn't marry your dog.
I love this woman to marry her. I want to marry her. I've been wanting to marry her. At first sight, it was just one of those things where you knew that was your person. But even with her hinting and me seeing the flaws and everything, that's one thing about a person. You can see their flaws. If you can love their flaws, that's a big sign. Because, you know,
okay,
I don't judge nobody. The Bible says, judge ye and you shall not be judged. So I'm not going to judge her. I am going to stand there and support her. And during that time, I call myself trying to do that, showing her that this is how you love, you know, basically by either cooking for her, opening the door for her when we would go out, taking her to a nice restaurant, go to church with her, pray, you know, doing the basic things to show her what a real, true, godly relationship is like. And I don't know if I said something that triggered it or why, but for whatever reason, she has been non-respondent. She will not answer her phone. She cut the ringer off, all that. I could be with her or not with her, and I haven't been with her in like almost 7 days.
Hmm.
She will not respond to any of my calls.
Wow.
She shut down, basically. She has shut down, and maybe she's working on herself, and I hope she is. I really do. I pray she's working on herself.
So what you're saying is you have a heart to marry her and have had that heart for 4 years. She is the resistant one. And right now, even though you did all these wonderful things earlier for her, expensive flowers and everything, you know, just going all out, she has let you know that it sounds like she doesn't trust you, or I'm going to pose a different scenario, Jimmy. You can love a person, but it not be a marital love. I'm talking about you. Let me say, she could love someone like you, but it not be a marital love. In other words, a relationship of marriage kind of love. There are a lot of people who love someone, but it's like, I don't feel called by God to marry this other person. That can be a distinction that is imperative, you know, and you can't force her. You're doing wonderful acts of kindness. There's no question. But if it's not a marital love, a love that is designed for marriage, you cannot force her to have that. And what that might mean is this, that you are ready for marriage. If she is not going to respond, then it may be that, yes, God has prepared you for marriage, but you need to consider it may be someone else. That has been a classic thing I've seen. When I used to teach a large singles class for 12 years and loved doing it. And there are times when two people seem drawn to each other, but then it's like there's a block on the part of one, not both. One wants to get married, the other is just, like you've said, just cutting off communication. Marriage is a relationship of two people with the same should be with the same values. May I ask you several questions?
You can ask me anything you want.
Okay, thank you. Has there been a time in your life where you know you personally received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, giving Him control of your life?
Age 12 and currently right now, because I recommitted myself to Christ. I hate to say this, and God forgive me for saying it, but I'm not able to get down on my knees because I've had surgery here recently. Mm-hmm. In fact, today was my first day back at work. I've been off for 3 months.
Wow.
And I had knee surgery, and I prayed to God every night at 11:11, every night. And I always, that prayer is always about, you know, family or things that's going on in life or whatever the case may be. Things I
yes.
see that, you know, the Holy Spirit shows me. And I listen to what God says. And I know that what is happening is not godly and it's not spiritual, but at the same sense, I felt there was something that was causing this. And this is not the first time she's done this. This is the third time she's done this. But this time it showed clearly and more, because I sit there and I remember so many things. Like when she asked me, "So you're telling me you did all these things for me the 4 years we dated because of that?" So, I don't know.
Well, so I hear that you gave your life to Christ when you were 12 and that you've prayed again at different times to have a renewed relationship. I'm going to ask, honestly, is this what she has done? Is she an authentic Christian? And the reason I'm asking is the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship does light have with darkness? So I'm asking, because this is a huge issue.
Hi, this is Haley Scully with Hope for the Heart. And I want to invite you to the Hope Together Conference this September in Allen, Texas. If you're involved in your church, if you have a heart for helping others, or if you're a professional counselor or life coach, this is the conference for you. We have an exciting 3 days planned with training, networking, workshops, and an incredible lineup of speakers, including Lee Strobel, James E. Ward Jr., Nick Vujicic, Crystal Evans Hurst, June Hunt, Steve Arterburn, and more. This event will be an encouraging and refreshing time of equipping with brothers and sisters who are doing similar ministry just like you. Hope Together is an in-person and live stream event. You can learn more and sign up at hopetogether.com. That's hopetogether.com. I hope to see you there.
Are you struggling with a difficult life issue? Maybe it's a family problem, a private struggle, or something in your past you've never resolved. The good news is, you are not alone. For more than 25 years on Hope in the Night, June Hunt has listened to thousands of personal stories, heartaches, and challenges from people like you, and provided compassionate counsel from God's Word. No matter what the issue is, family, marriage, abuse, grief, or just the daily stresses of work and life, June would love to talk with you and share help and hope through God's Word. If you'd like to talk with June on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17. We'll protect your privacy, and sharing your story might bless someone else's life. Give us a call today at 1-800-644-4817. That's 1-800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have any questions about tonight's topics or any number of topics, there are over 100 of our Keys for Living to help you address your situation. Our Keys for Living provide biblical hope and practical help on a variety of topics, each one with one particular topic, and it really drills deep into that topic, and it gives the definitions, causes, characteristics, solutions to each of those issues that are addressed in any one of our particular keys. I want to recommend one of ours tonight called Considering Marriage, Are You Fit to Be Tied? And that and so many other of our resources titles are available by calling customer support. Their number is 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd love to hear from you and recommend some of our resources for you. Their number again, 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Let's return to our conversation now with Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy, I posed a question. I'm hearing that you're saying for you that you did pray to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, giving him control of your life. You did that at age 12, and that you've prayed a yieldedness multiple times since that time. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, I need to ask, what about this woman that you would want to marry? Has she had a changed life through Christ? Or
oh,
not
yeah.
really?
She, I think somewhere along the line she has some work that she's doing. I don't want to reveal too much, like I said, because if I said what profession she did, then people probably put two and two together, but she is at a point in her life where she is Catholic, and I'm non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have, you know, strong faiths, and I believe one thing, but ultimately she believes in that thing too. And, you know, is Jesus Christ is Lord. And I think when she's by herself, she always tells me a statement. And I don't know what this statement means, but she always tells me she's doing paperwork. She can be on her off day, and I asked you, I said, do you have any plans? You know, I wanted to take you to see a movie or something. She said, well, before I go, I got paperwork to do. Well, what is the paperwork? I mean, and then everything is adding up to me what this paperwork is. This paperwork is stuff that she's doing to work her, maybe, I don't know, psychologically or mentally or whatever's going on. And that's, you know, that's neither here nor there for me, but I think what matters to me is, if you do have something that is a mental problem or you do have some type of PTSD, if you whatever you have, be honest about it. Because when it gets down to it, a person that loves you is going to accept you.
Yes.
Just as Jesus Christ accepts us.
Yes. Totally. The past must not dictate the future.
Amen.
The past can, in certain situations, be a predictor of what has not been dealt with.
And I think so, God used me at this point. I'm sorry, Ms. June, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think God used me at this point to bring up what she said, because it just hurt me to the core when she said I used her. After all the things I have done, we talking about in a relationship that I have invested over $38,000 plus. And I'm not going to tell you what all I've done with that, but it consists of dinners, clothes, going out, whatever. And I didn't mind doing it because I did it out of love. I'm a giver. Always have been, always will be. But my thing was, when I made this investment, and it was an investment because I love this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I told her it was, but she spun it on me. It was like a form of manipulation. She said this, so you think because you spent that kind of money on me that me and you were going to be together, stay together or whatever, and something like that. And I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? I said, you're putting words in my mouth. I said, I never said that. I said, what I said was I made an investment in the fact that I love this woman. I care about you. And I said, I care about you deeply. I said, it's one thing to say I love you, but I'm saying I have fallen deeply in love with you. That's a totally different thing. Totally different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I, like you said, I can say I love my dog.
Right.
But I'm saying that despite whatever's going on with you, because I've been around with you and I've seen yourself carry yourself in a professional manner, and the job that you have, it's a high-level job. You got to know what you're doing because you had to get a PhD to take and do this job, and it's involving life and death. You know what you're doing, so for that to be, say you function on a day-to-day basis with that, that means a lot to me. That tells me you can focus and function.
Okay, I hear you. I love your heart. Jimmy, I'm going to ask you a question I need to ask, and I will appreciate your candor. And I'll explain why I'm asking the question. Are you having a sexual relationship with her?
I knew you were going to ask that question. It started that way. But it didn't end that way because it got to the point where I didn't want it. And it got to the point where it meant more than me to take and be a certain way with her and explain to her that this is not what's important to me. That issue is not there. I don't want that. I can do without that. I said, it means more to me than to love you and show you how I am supposed to treat you as a man versus that, because anybody can do that and get that. That's easy. Anybody. And it's a simple thing to say, but it's the truth. It's anybody can do that, but what's the hardest thing for you to do is love somebody, care about them at the state they are, and want them to do better and be better by helping them get better. Our job in this lifetime is for us to get each other better, make each other better. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's God. But there's one thing we can do. We have God in us that makes us be able to help one another. I can learn from anybody, and anybody can learn from me on any given day. But if you love somebody, you want what's best for them. If it's not me, so be it. As long as it's somebody that's going to be godly and good to her, I'm happy with that. But if it's not, then I need to back up and reposition myself, because that statement, like I said, it cut to the core with me.
Right.
And I had to resist that.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because not only is there a biblical position on that, there is to be the sexual union after marriage, but for her to say, that you used her, and then that was wounding to you. But this, for many females, they feel like all that he does is to ultimately buy sex, and that can be, and since God is the one who put the sexual relationship only in the context of a husband, wife, male, female relationship for marriage, after marriage. And I'm being specific. I'm trying to figure out, I wonder if this is what she is feeling, because you did say it started with sex. And just to let you know what the Bible actually says, so that it, you understand, these are God's words, based on the word. The Bible is the Word of God. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it reads, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, not girlfriend, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The one flesh means the sexual union. They will become one flesh, but it's following the man leaving father, mother, being united to his wife, and then they enter into the sexual union. And this is the biblical position, and therefore and let me ask this, since you said, but this is not part of your relationship now. That's what you said, correct?
Yeah, what I'm referring to as part of a relationship now is meaning that it's so much deeper than that. You know, I think about what she said one time before when she did this. She said, you don't want to marry me. You don't want to be with me. And I said, why would you say that? Trust me, you don't want to be with me. Is it something I need to know? And she wouldn't tell me anything. It's like any conversation, she will not have a conversation with me and let me know. I can ask her anything, and she will not answer it. And that tells me that somewhere in her past, in her relationship, it's almost like she has gone back and shut down. And I just happened to be there to see it happen from a standpoint where I was not able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on trying to wonder. I started putting pieces back together. I told her, I said, you saying that I used you. I says, I wanted to fly back from a city and come back home, but instead you guys wanted to stay there in this, from this city, but I told her I was going to drive down. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll drive us home all the way. She said, you're going to drive us all the way from Colorado. I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I drove us all the way from Colorado to Texas. And I told her, I said, you know why I did that? I said, I didn't do that to manipulate you. I didn't do that for selfish gain. I did that because I love you and I wanted to see you get home safely. And I know the fact that I've been in the military, I can take and do those kind of drives. I know I can take and make it and help us get home safely because I'm locked in and focused to do those kind of things. So when I say her to the core, you don't know the work, the groundwork I did. I mean, the traveling to go to church and make a point not to even so much go to my church as much as I did hers to make her feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Well, obviously, right now, you're not aligned. That doesn't mean you can't become aligned. But those are powerful words. When she said that you used her, that's assigning a motive to you. It's not just about her. What she's doing is accusing you of a type of value system that I don't hear that you're having, but that the fact that you would use her means that you're just being selfish.
Ever struggle to believe that God loves you, that He accepts you, forgives you, and sees you as His precious, beloved child? So many people have a distorted picture of God, that He is distant, disappointed, or doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. The truth is, God cares about you more than you know. We want to encourage you to check out June Hunt's popular devotional, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. In this 31-day devotional, June Hunt provides compassionate, biblical insight to help you understand and embrace the life-changing identity you have in Christ. Each day provides a biblical truth along with a short reflection and journaling questions to help you see yourself through God's eyes. We give this devotional to every caller on Hope in the Night because it has changed so many lives over the years. Get a copy of June Hunt's devotional for yourself or a loved one at junehunt.org. That's junehunt.org.
If you have ever wondered what the Bible says about real-life issues, then you need to check out the Care and Counsel Library today. This is the newest and most comprehensive resource from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart. developed over the span of 35 years with the help of pastors, counselors, and ministry leaders. The Care and Counsel Library is the culmination of June Hunt's lifelong dedication to provide biblical hope and practical help on real-life issues. The Care and Counsel Library is a 50-topic, 10-volume set of books which provide clear answers from God's Word on issues such as anxiety, abuse, addiction, grief, and more. This is a must-have resource for anyone who wants to grow in biblical wisdom. And right now, you can save 25% when you get the whole set. Check out the Care and Counsel Library today at hopefortheheart.org/CCL. That's hopefortheheart.org/CCL. You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. This is a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'll help you to understand and get to God's hope in looking at our resources. They'll recommend some that will be pertinent, related to whatever you're dealing with in your life. They'd like to help you and suggest some of our titles for that. And by the way, one of our keys for living called Considering Marriage, Are You Fit to Be Tied, is our topic tonight. And if you're interested in that, just talk to customer support. They'll be happy to order that for you and get it in your hands pretty quickly. Also, you can go to our website at hopefortheheart.org and find the free resources tab there, and that will give you many, many titles where you can even download a couple of pages per topic, and with scripture references and quick helps there. They're called our quick reference guides, and that might be helpful for you as well. You can kind of get some answers there as even as you're waiting for your own copies of our Keys for Living if you're getting those ordered. The number again, 800-488-HOPE. Now, if you'd like to speak with June about something going on in your life and to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And when you call, leave a message for us. We'll get back to you as soon as possible to schedule you for an upcoming Hope in the Night. That number again, 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation with Jimmy.
Well, Jimmy, I'm hearing, thank you for, by the way, answering these tough questions. One of the things that I'll just comment on is, when you even described, when she said, you know, she said a number of things, but especially that you used her. And yet you ended up sharing that you made an investment in her. You spent 30 some odd thousand dollars, but that did not go the way you thought. You were trying to describe your love for her, and instead, now she said, well, basically, you think you can spend money and then you get what you want.
I left some out there.
What's that?
I left the part out about when I did say that about that money. I left out the part about how I told her, I said, you know, the biggest thing is understanding. And I said, neither one of us knew, you know, each other's thoughts or mind reading. I said, just because I took and invested that kind of money to take and, you know, make sure you understand. That was my way of telling you that, you know, I enjoyed being around you. I loved you. And I never asked you for nothing or paid for nothing. I never, not one time have I ever asked you for anything. But then she came back with, you know, I'm sorry, James, that you don't like me or this, that, and the other. And I said, where did that come from?
Mm.
That I don't like you. I never said that. Not one time in a text or nothing. And she said that I have friends and all like this. And then I came back with one last thing, because like I told you, it hurt from the core. And this is the last thing I'll say about it. I told her, I said, you truly know who a person is when you go through a serious surgery and you ask them, will you be there for me? And they get quiet And then the next day, they do this kind of text messaging.
Mm.
They don't want nothing to do with you. I feel like a little dog that was lost, and you just put me out on the country road and just told me, hey, survive.
So she did not indicate that she was committed to you to be there for a significant surgery. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
She treated me like I was, I don't know. I don't want to say that word. That's a negative word.
Well, I'm not hearing that the two of you are on the same playing field or on the same wavelength, because that's a significant question. And when you genuinely love someone, it's a privilege to serve them. I think you considered it a privilege to do the things you did because you loved her.
Everything I've ever done for her, I consider it service. I mean, I do. If anybody would feel like they were being used, then we use that statement to make a statement like if you really don't know Christ. Because everything I ever did, everything my mom ever taught me is of Christ. Now, like you said, you asked me a serious question a while ago. I gave you a serious answer.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I didn't want to answer that because, you know, I had to ask God for forgiveness on that many a times. And I know that with her. And I know for a fact that I did my best to be good to her, not only mentally, spiritually, but I tried my best to be a good person and a good man to let her know, hey, there are some of us out here that's really good and really genuinely care. I really genuinely care. I mm-hmm. care to the highest level.
I hear you. And it is true that what you have said, that you've given and given because you truly loved her. I'm just not hearing that she has done this in return, because marriage has to be a two-way street. Are there things that... Well, she may not be. But, you know, again, people can have a love for somebody. They can care about somebody, but it not be for marriage. And I've talked with many people where that has been the situation. Then later, if God has put them in a place to say, you will marry, then he'll bring the right person into that person's life. And how I wish we could, you know, I'm going to be candid. I remember dating a guy that I really liked, and he had all the qualities that I respected. I had graduated from college, and we dated for several years, and I really believed it was going to turn to marriage. I remember there was a point at which we both plateaued at the same time, or approximately the same time. I did not have a marital love for him, but I respected him tremendously, probably more than anyone I had dated. And likewise, I think he plateaued also. And I was so grateful because that way we weren't hurting each other. But I think we both thought it would culminate in marriage. I'm just sharing that with you. I've hardly told that to anybody. But it let me know that, yes, you can love a person, but if it's not that you're led to marry, then it may be that, you have the capacity to do this. But let me ask, have you been married before?
No, ma'am. I've never been married. I've never had kids. And I'm 57 years old.
Okay. So it could be that God has prepared you for marriage. And if she is shutting the door because she does not have a marital love, then you're going to need to accept that. Now, the Lord knows. He knows everything. He knows already the end of your life, which I hope will be a long, 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 long time from now. But the Bible says all the days ordained for us were written in His book before one of them came to be. That's Psalm 139, verse 16. So He knows your last day, but He also knows the days in between. And if, my friend, Jimmy, if you are to marry, then He can bring the right partner, marriage partner, into your life where the two of you become husband and wife, and there will be true fulfillment. So far, I've not heard that she is a giver. In life, there are givers and takers. And many times, we can be in a relationship with somebody who's a taker, and the other person can be a giver. You can be a giver, which you definitely are. And I think God wants us to be givers. In fact, the Bible even says it is more blessed to give than receive. Jesus said that. It is more blessed to give than receive. But if the other person is not a giver, it's going to be very difficult. But see, what I don't know is, and this is where you've got to pray and say, Lord, reveal to me what you want me to do. And it sounds as though you're wondering, because if it's going to be continual rejection, it sounds like she's often rejected you, and therefore it is hard when you're wanting to end up walking down an aisle with her for marriage, but it requires that she wants this, and sometimes there are reasons either where she doesn't have the marital love for you, or it can be a woundedness based on her previous relationship, where you said that her former husband committed suicide, and that is traumatic, very traumatic. What I'm going to do...
He did that in front of the kids.
Wow.
He did that in front of her and the kids.
See, that's cruel to kids, as well as to everyone involved. I'm going to be sending you, as a gift from our ministry, our material on premarital counseling, Are You Fit to Be Tied? I'm hearing that you're more than willing to be tied to her. I have not heard anything that indicates that that's where she is. And so there'll be a number of, a whole lot of questions and answers in here. And you just need to be open to God's perfect will for you. If there is someone else that He has for you, He will bring that person into your life. Most of all, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's huge. So make sure that that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is in your heart.
We will send our keys for living on considering marriage called Are You Fit to Be Tied? We'll send that out to tonight's caller. And we do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. And if you'd like to give to keep those resources going out and to keep this program on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/givehope. And we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, our program can be found on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.